Luke chapter 12, we're going to start reading in verse number 16. I'm excited about tonight's parable. It's a bit of a longer one, but the teaching isn't any longer. We'll be out by 8 o'clock, I promise you, maybe even a couple minutes before, not much, but maybe. Luke chapter 12, by the way, next Wednesday night, I'll be in Ohio preaching. Brother Josh will be preaching next Wednesday night. I'm pleased about that. I think this is my last trip for a little while at least. I hope. All right. Luke chapter 12, look at verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow and toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither shall it be of doubtful mind. For all these things do nations of the world seek after. Your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, it's an interesting parable. I want you to realize that, first of all, I want to make a statement here. God's not against you having money. Let me say that again. God is not against you having money. God's not against you having nice things. Nowhere does it say that it is sinful to have money or nice things. But he does not want us to live for money and live for nice things. When you spend your life to get everything you want and you don't do anything for God, what good is it? That's what God is teaching us here. Man tends to let money and things replace God. Have you ever noticed the farther you go up the financial scale, the less Christianity there generally is? Please don't take this the wrong way. I've knocked doors in the slums. I've knocked doors in the ghettos. I've knocked doors in low-class America, middle-class America, rich America, and I'm talking filthy rich America in multi-million-dollar estates. It's harder knocking on doors in multi-million-dollar estates than it is in the slums. Plain and simple. Say why? Because they trust themselves and their things and not God. They're not bad people. They're successful. And by the way, they're not bad people necessarily. Just because somebody has money doesn't make them bad, contrary to what the government says. And by the way, the people saying that have more money than most everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, God does not want us to replace him with things. Folks, this makes a pretty lousy God. That makes a pretty lousy God. Money is a pretty stinking, nasty God. Now, this parable is about far more than money and things. It's about the priorities we have in our life. Priorities are those things which are most important. Now, listen to me very carefully here. God knows our sinful pride. He knows our lust for things and the glory or attention we get because of having things. He knows that we will enslave ourselves to money and to debt just to have those things and to get the glory associated with it. So we can appear to be successful. Once again, dirt trying to impress other dirt. How much more important is one set of dirt over another set of dirt? A pile of dirt here and a pile of dirt there. One's got more compost in it than others. I say that nice enough for Baptist Church. Amen. We think our dirt is more valuable than somebody else's dirt. I'm here to tell you something. God said that's not true. Can I tell you something? Do you know what dirt really is? Decomposed material.
Yes, sir.
Dirt is death. I catch my grass clippings and my dad wants them for his garden and stuff. Say, why? Because it breaks down and turns into compost and turns into dirt. And that is exactly what this body does. You bury it, it turns to dirt. You bury a tree log, it'll turn to dirt. Eventually, everything returns back to dirt. It's got water that evaporates, and then it turns to dirt. We're nothing but a walking mud hole. Now, our bodies and everything will eventually rot into dirt. If this building were to stand here for 100 years by itself, no care, it would fall down, rot, and turn into dirt. It will go back to the dirt from whence it all came from. The material, every bit of it other than the metal would become dirt. Now, listen to me very carefully here. We need to see that the eternal and not the temporary has to be in focus. God wants us to be focused on the eternal, not the temporary.
Yes,
we need to live financially and prioritize for eternity, not just for now. Now let's get into the parable and I'll help you. A very wealthy farmer had a great harvest. And he sees his success in his productivity. This harvest was not just a one-time harvest. It became annual. It was year after year, and it was getting bigger and bigger. And there was no end in sight of the growth. He did not even have room to store all that he produced. He decides then to tear down all his buildings and build much bigger ones and fill them and live the easy life the rest of his life. This man had spent his life to build and fill buildings with wealth as his security. Can I tell you something? Money is not secure.
That's right.
Buildings are not secure. Go through an earthquake once, you'll find out. Things are not secure. How many times have you been stranded in a car or a flat tire? This man spent his whole life accumulating things, accumulating wealth. And God says, comes to him and says, when you die, what are you going to have to show for it? Who's going to spend your money and take your things?
Right.
He spent his whole life on this life and no preparation for eternal life. Now listen to this very carefully. He was more concerned about the next paycheck or the next building than he was the next life. God calls the man a fool in Luke chapter 12, verse number 20.
Yes, sir.
Look at it again. It says, but God said unto him, thou fool. Now, The rich man that night was going to die. And according to the Bible in Proverbs 12:15 and Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He was a lost man. This man lived for wealth. He did not live for the next life. He didn't say that he was doing something foolish. He said, thou fool. Guess what? That man was going to die and go to hell. He had rejected God and made his wealth, his things, his money, his security. Can I ask? Well, more importantly, where will he be in eternity and what will he have to enjoy there? He wanted to live in ease here, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like Sodom and Gomorrah, doesn't it? Sounds like the days of Noah, doesn't it? Eating and drinking and giving in marriage. When God calls him a fool, it implies that this man is about to spend the rest of eternity in hell. Now, God uses verses 22 through 31 to tell us the illustration, or to tell us the truth about this illustration. Now look at me. Remember, this isn't necessarily a true story. I don't know that it was a true story. I do know that it is a parable because God said it was a parable in verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them saying. I can't tell you that the story itself actually happened. Everybody look at me. But I can tell you that the truth is the most important part, not the story. It doesn't matter if it was a real story or not. I could probably give you a list of people where it could have applied in their life today. Mr. Bill Gates. Miss Nasty Pelosi. I mean Nancy Pelosi. And others. No. Let me give you the teaching here. First of all, Jesus said that there's more to life than food and clothing. There is more to life than food and clothing. Look at verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. I did some research. The average American spends right at $3,000 a year per person for food. That's about $8 a day on food. If you have two people in your household, that's about $15, $16 a day. It averages out to be. Now that includes your eating out. That includes everything. If you lived 70 years, that's over $200,000 that you poked down the pie hole. Think about how much money you've wasted at Sheetz in the last year. Think of how many times you stopped for coffee and then you picked up this and picked up that. Think of how much, you would be shocked if you just charted how much money you spend in a month. You really would. If you would go to a cash system and study your stupid debit card, you might find out how much money you spend. That $20 bill I pulled out of my pocket is my allowance for myself every week. I rarely spend it. But my dad picked something up for me and I gave him some money for it. Say why? Because I don't stop and spend much like that. I really don't. I don't just run into Sheetz. If I'm going to Sheetz, it's to get gas. It's not to go get food. Good night. My house is only 5 minutes farther. Why would I stop there? Everybody doing okay? Boy, that's getting good. Jesus tells us that many people live for what they eat or for what they wear. Look how many people have been killed over clothing. What kind of tennis shoes they wear. Wearing the wrong colors in gang territory. It's unbelievable how many people are, Brother Juan, you see it in the jails, in different things. People are killed over, I've spent time in L.A., Chicago. You'd be surprised how many people get shot for what colors they wear, and they're not even gang members. If you're wearing an opposing gang's colors, and you just happen to be walking down the street, you could be shot. Even though you're not a member of that other gang, you're wearing their colors, so you must represent them in that territory. People are killed over a pair of tennis shoes. LeBron James shoes. Well, somebody ought to send him somewhere else anyway.
Amen.
We need to learn. By the way, Jesus tells us there's more to life than food and clothes. Look at verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? God says, look at the raven. They don't have barns. They don't plant gardens. But yet God provides food for the raven to live. And God knows there's a bunch of them. It's great this time of year. You can hear the crows or the ravens flying over, and they'll start calling, and then the turkeys start gobbling because they hate the crows. He say, keep on flying. I know where he's at now. Now, wait a minute. How much more important are we than birds? If God's going to take care of feeding the birds, including the buzzards, I guess he'd take care of a bunch of Baptists, wouldn't he? I guess he'd take care of a bunch of his own children, wouldn't he? We need to learn to keep food simple and not eat just because we see something or because we like something or we think our stomach says it would like that.
Amen.
Now I went to meddling, didn't I? You know, many of us would be healthier if we watched what all we put down the pie hole.
Amen.
How much, what kind of, and how often.
Amen.
It's amazing how many people will go to work, they'll stop, get something to eat, and then go home and eat a meal. You mean to tell me you couldn't wait 20 minutes? You're not going to die, trust me.
Amen.
You can go 70 days or 40 days with no food. You might not feel like you can, but you can. And some of us have probably 50 or 60 days on there. Wouldn't hurt us, amen? You're not going to die in 20 or 30 minutes or even an hour. I promise you. You say, well, I'm just so hungry. Well, why don't you tell your body to shut up and do what you're supposed to do?
Amen.
Get some water, shove it down the pie hole. It'll satisfy it for a little while. Don't worry. You won't famish, I promise you. We don't need the newest and the fanciest clothes if we struggle to pay our bills. There's nothing wrong with you buying nice clothing as long as you can pay your bills and buy nice clothing.
Amen.
But don't go out and spend $500 on a suit if you haven't paid your mortgage.
Amen.
Or if you're juggling six credit cards. Now, if you have everything paid off, you got the money sitting there, and you want to spend $500 on a suit, go for it. Wear it a few times, take it to Goodwill, and then I'll buy it for $20. Most of the suits I wear, I get used. I wear suits hard. When you wear a suit almost every day of your life, trust me, these are my work clothes. My wife is, during the construction of this building, I thank God for Goodwill. What's that other place? Act 2. Not the AC&T store. Act 2. You say, why? Because I don't know how many suits I ruined. I tore holes in pants. I had mud and concrete and all kinds of stuff all over suits. And I had a pair of coveralls with me and a pair of boots in my truck, but I never jumped out and changed. Not one time. I didn't have time. Just jump out and get into it. It's all right. We don't need the fanciest of food. You don't have to go spend $50 a plate on food. Now, if you do that once in a while for something special and you've saved up for it, hey, go for it. You got the money for it and your bills are paid, go for it. When I worked for Brother Hiles every year at Christmas, oh my soul, he would give my wife and I a gift certificate. I remember one year we went to up at Chicago, Ruth's Chris. Well, he gave us a $200 gift certificate. I thought, man, I wonder how many times I can go for that. I didn't get out of there for under that, let me tell you. And we didn't eat real fancy. I remember another one. We were at the John Hancock building. We were on the 65th floor or the 86th floor. He had given us a gift card to go there. It was one of those places they forget to pay the electric bill because it's really dark. And you're not sure what you're going to eat. And it was the funniest time I'd ever taken my wife out. We were sitting there with another assistant pastor and his wife. And they bring the salads out. I start digging into mine. My wife digs into hers, puts it in her mouth. Miss Prim and Miss Proper. She goes, they had anchovies on there. Raw anchovies. Salty little fish. And she got a whole bite of one of those things. I saw it going in. You say, you didn't stop her? Nope. Here we are at this fancy restaurant. And she couldn't take it. Say, what'd you do? Picked mine off to the side. You couldn't see what it was, but as soon as I saw that face, I knew what it was. Can I tell you something? We didn't pay for those things. He bought gift cards or gift certificates for us to go there. I wouldn't spend that kind of money on those things. Now, we did it because it was a gift, but I don't have plans on flying to Chicago and taking her there again. Say, why? No way. Too much for just one plate of food, man. That's a week's worth of groceries or a month's worth for us now. Too many people spend way too much money on food. Careful how many times you eat out. Say, well, it's just McDonald's. Do you know how much you can spend at McDonald's? It's incredible how much you can spend on fast food. I'll guarantee there's men in here that you stop, and if you stop at a fast food place, you'll spend $10 to $15 every time. Every time. Not just once, every time. That's just for yourself. That's not your family. Everybody doing all right? So Jesus said there's more to life than food and clothing. Number two, are you ready? This one's going to hurt. I love you. We're not as powerful as we want to think that we are. We're not as powerful as we want to think we are. Look at verse number 25. And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is the least, why take you thought of what the rest? Jesus is saying, who can add 18 inches to your height? Can you just sit there and think yourself to grow 18 inches? And I'm talking about this way, not this way. Okay. Vertical, not around. We take care of the around pretty easily with 18 inches. But the growing vertically 18 inches, none of us can think ourselves into it. Do you ever notice how some people complain about how tall they are, how short they are? I wished I was this tall. I wished I was this. And they, I wish. You know how tall I am? I am 5'8". Glad I'm 5'8". Wouldn't want to be 5'7". Don't want to be 5'10". Don't want to be 6 foot. Don't want to be 7 foot. I've seen 7'1" tall people bang their heads on every door that they go through. Brother Jamie Jackson's about 6'10". He came here and he saw those 8 foot doors in our auditorium. He said, finally. He said, I love your building. I can walk in and not have to duck in any room. It's just one of those things. I said, I never have to duck going in anywhere. Now, wait a minute. When I got to get on a ladder and he doesn't, but that's all right, or I got to get on a chair, and he doesn't, that's okay. By the way, look at what God says in verse 26. If ye then not be able to do that thing which is least. Did you know your height is the least important thing about you? And yet you can't add one fraction of an inch to your growth. We're not as powerful as we think we are. If we can't do, if we cannot do what God does with our stature, why do we put so much importance on it then? God said he would take care of it. He clothes the flowers of the field. He cares for the grass. He feeds the plants. Why would he not take care of us? Folks, too many of us are worried about jobs and making more money and having more money. How about we manage the money God gives us first? Number three, and I'll finish up somewhat quickly. Jesus gives us a priority list. This is the whole teaching. Are you ready? Look at verse number 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. Now look at me. Let's read verse 30. For all these things do nations of the world seek after. God knows that the nations seek food. They seek money. They seek clothing. Not just to buy, but to sell, to make money for their nation. The world trades on food and clothing. Now, the car industry is big, but it doesn't go into necessarily every country heavily. But food and clothing does. I've been in remote places in Mexico. I've been up in the Sierra Madre Mountains in the state of Chihuahua, Mexico. We were so far back that there were people there that thought we were still mad at them for the Spanish-American War. I've been places where we were the first white people they had ever seen in their life. Remember one meeting, we pushed the bus across this same river going up this mountain 11 times going up the mountain. All the guys had to get out to lighten the bus and then push to get across this river every time we got out. Got up there, there was a 103-year-old lady that got saved that night. She outlived her husband, she outlived her children. Her grandkids were older. I mean, this lady was old. She had never seen a copy of the Word of God in her entire life. Now, mind you, we were way out there. But they had Coca-Cola for sale. They had Coca-Cola, but they didn't have the Word of God. How pitiful. How pitiful. Our life's focus is not to be the things of this world. That's right. Say, what are the things of this world? Food, clothing, entertainment, games, satellite TV. Everybody doing okay? Travel, the things we do for enjoyment, houses, cars, toys, guns, tools. None of these things are sinful. Well, some of the entertainment maybe. But most of these things are not sinful by themselves. But when the main thrust of your life is for these things, then it becomes sinful. When you're more concerned about having to work extra to pay for your games and things that you want to do than being at church doing things for God, guess what? Priorities are out of bounds. God says to seek the kingdom of God first, then these things will be added unto you. Look at verse number 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Food, raiment, all the things that you need for life. God said, seek his kingdom first, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, verses about 20 or so through 33, virtually retell part of this story, the truth portion of it, not the parable itself. Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Those things are the material things of this life. Don't get mad at me. That's why you ought to tithe.
Amen.
When you seek God in your finances, the word tithe means first tenth.
Right.
I'm not mad at you. Between you and God, I'm not checking it out, just so you know. But when you tithe appropriately and scripturally, can I tell you something? God has a way to bless you.
Amen.
Well, I give after I've paid everything off. I'll tithe off of what I have left. God bless you. You're going to have troubles. God says tithe off the first tenths. That's what a tithe was. Well, if I can't give the best, no. That's what a sacrifice is. Sacrifice or an offering is the best of what you have. Tithe is a percentage that was required. A tithe was this. Man had cattle or sheep. First one that came through the gate, they pulled them over this way. Got through number 10, they pulled over here. Got through number 19, number 20, they pulled over here. And that was his tithe. Didn't matter if it had bad feet, bad breath, bad eyeballs, had torn ears. It didn't matter. It was the first of every 10 that came through. That's what a tithe was. Now, a sacrifice or an offering, that had to be the best of what you had. That's different. That's over and above the tithe. But God said that tithe is what he required. I'm not asking for the church. I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for you so that you can get God's blessings. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Now, hang in there. I love you. God says, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we've got time. Colossians chapter 3. I only have just a couple statements left to make and I'm done. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. In reference to heaven, right? Eternity. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. I wonder how in debt we are to the things of this earth. How in debt are we to the toys that we have, the games we play, the guns we have? And I'm not saying, by the way, if you have, I've got guns, trust me. I'm not against any of these things, but how far in debt are you to keep paying them off? Everything I have, I own. I owe on my car, I owe on my house, that's it. I don't owe on my truck. Say why? Because I plan on seeking him first and let him take care of all the other things. Sometimes I got to wait to get what I want. But did you know sometimes waiting's a pretty good thing? I said something to my dad and my son. I just got me a new toy. I'll be 54 years old this next month in May. Brother Randy, I got my first blower for leaves and dirt and stuff. I have never owned one in my entire life. Say, really? Yeah, I've used a broom my whole life. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to buy one of them things. Man, I got a battery-powered one. I don't need to fool with a stupid electric cord. I saved my money till I could get one. I got me a nice Ryobi one. Trigger control, I can adjust it. Man, I can blow out my garage. I can make Miss Wally's hair go like this. It's great. Can I tell you something? You say, preacher, that's such a little thing. Yeah, I might be 53 years old, almost 54 years old before I got it, but I sure do appreciate it. Did you know I've lived this long without one? If it breaks down tomorrow, I still got a broom. And I still know where the keys are for it. Right there. You say, that sounds so simple, preacher. How come you didn't have one of those a long time ago? Because it wasn't a high enough priority. Taking care of my wife and my kids and my house and taking care of the things that they needed. And all those things were far more important than a stupid blower. Now, I like it. I'm having fun. I mowed yesterday. Chris came by to get Miss Wally. She didn't even recognize who I was. I was out there in T-shirt and ball cap on, sweating like a hog, man. Sweat dripping everywhere. She got Miss Wally got in the car. She said, was that preacher? She said, mm-hmm. Welcome to the way I really live, amen. Can I tell you something? I was enjoying it. I couldn't wait to get done mowing and trimming so that I could use my new blower. You say, preacher, that sounds kind of simple, doesn't it? Aren't you glad simple things make me happy? I don't have to have a gold-plated doghouse. Air-conditioned and heated doghouse for my dog. Dirty old Ford F-150, 2001 Ford pickup truck with 155,000 miles on it. I'll take it any day. Say why? Because it's the simple things. I'd rather have that and give money towards missions and tithe and have my bills paid than have all the other extra luxuries that I really don't need. Just as your children in your home should not have to worry about food and clothes and health care, God doesn't want you to worry about it either. I couldn't tell you how many times my wife and I prayed down medical bills. I'm finally getting to the end of paying them off for the last 30 years. This is my $200,000 kid. Man, that boy cost me money. And that was just the first episode. That wasn't the rest of them. The broken collarbones and the broken arms and falling off the roof three times and stitches and everything else. That was just the first episode. The first hospital bill was stamped $118,900 and some dollars. Please remit with payment. Yeah, right. Yeah. I'll write you a check, but you're going to ride it to the moon, let me tell you. Boing! That was just the hospital bill. That wasn't the rest of the bills that came with it. The pharmacy bill was over $30,000 for that one. And you're talking almost 30 years ago. Don't you feel old? Now, wait a minute. You say, how are you going to pay for that? I didn't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. First time in history that the Catholic hospital ever paid most of the bill for a Baptist preacher, but they did. I'm not kidding. They said, well, you're a minister. I said, yeah, but I'm not Catholic. They said, well, let's try it. They got the Catholic Church to approve paying most of my hospital bills. I put up with Sister Fat Bottom for that. God wants us to give to the kingdom. Can I show you something? Turn to Romans chapter 8. I'll read this. We'll shout and we'll be done. Amen. Romans chapter 8. I'm about ready to enjoy it. I want to show you something that goes right with this. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? Sons of God. That means saved, right? For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Notice how many people live in fear today, financially, physically. Watch this. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You say, preacher, it's just so hard. Yeah, but you're a joint heir with Jesus. What are you worried about? I know who my daddy is, but I know who my heavenly daddy is too. See, it's a little bit tough down here, preacher. Yeah, but look what you're going to. Retirement benefits are out of this world. What are you worried about? God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the hills. He owns the gold in the hills. And he owns the farmer farming the hills. What are you worried about? God takes care of his own, doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
Now, you may not be living luxuriously, but God will take care of you. Thou fool, let's not live for money and things. Let's get our priorities right. I'll say this, as long as I have breath in my body and sanity, some sanity, in my head, this church is not going to have give it all offerings.
Amen.
I am not going to expect you to give everything you make in a week to God and live by faith for the rest. I'm going to ask you to obey God and not worry about the rest. By the way, that's not real spiritual doing that, because you're asking your creditors to live by faith, not you.
Right.
I'm not mad at churches that do it. I'm just not going to do it. Been part of those. Want nothing to do with it. I saw what it did to people. Well, we've got to have a special offering. Then let's get on our knees and ask God for it. I got to shut up. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder, God spoke into your heart tonight. Are we too things oriented, too money oriented? Or do we have the kingdom of God in view?